The FCC site could host malware. 6 million Instagram accounts had their data leaked. Over 700 million email addresses were exposed by a spam bot. And almost 500,000 pacemakers could be hacked. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morrison. This is ThreatWire for September 5th, 2017, your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you haven't checked out our Patreon yet, please do so. We have lots that we want to do for this show, but we can't do it without your support. Patreon.com/ThreatWire is the place to support the show, and the link is in the show notes. Now, on to the first story. A few days ago, Hack5 was tagged in this Twitter post saying, "The FCC has released a statement regarding Ajit Pai and net neutrality with a link to a PDF document on the FCC.gov website." Luckily, the user included a screen capture on Twitter, so clicking on the link out of curiosity was not necessary and also not suggested for anybody out there. The PDF was hosted on the FCC's Public Commenting Database API, which is called the Electronic Comment Filing System API, which allows the public to upload any files alongside their comments. But that is not all. Apparently, the .gov site could send anyone an API key as long as you have a legit email address to receive it at. You could then upload PDFs, GIFs, EXE files, MP4s, up to 25 megabytes in size. That includes malware that could be used in a phishing campaign, as purported by the Medium post on this topic. The FCC has since removed most, if not all, of the publicly uploaded files, but a demo API still works as of recording date. According to the original file's owner, the filing database creates a link for any files uploaded before you officially post a comment, and that it requires you to use the robust filing system instead of the express option. He was able to get the upload link through the comment system, so he never had to apply for an API key by email, which also means he never had to check a TOS. Keep this in mind the next time you see a legitimate looking letterhead on a .gov website, and always try to reach out to the source for clarity on the file. Last week, Instagram was the target of a large data breach containing users' phone numbers and email addresses. Originally, the hack appeared to be just of verified accounts of celebrities, but after 2 days of a very slow lead, it was reported to be 6 million total accounts hit, which include verified and non-verified as well. Verified accounts on Instagram are those that have a little blue check mark next to their name. Usually they belong to politicians, celebrities, and other people who may be forced to deal with fake accounts made in their name. This can be super useful for normies like me and you to verify that you are actually following the Nathan Fillion that you think that you are following. Yay, brown coats. It turns out Instagram had an API flaw that allowed for the leak of data via the password reset option. In a JSON response, a criminal could see the user's mobile number and email address. Instagram has since fixed the bug and has contacted verified users, but not non-verified users. The 6 million accounts with data leaked was put up for sale on a site called Doxagram for $10 per account search, but the domain is continually being removed by registrars. The leak was verified by Ars Technica and Troy Hunt when 10,000 listings were sent to the publication and were verifiable. Now, while Instagram has over 700 million users, a 6 million user leak should not be taken lightly. The scary part is that with a phone number in hand, a criminal could try to social engineer a mobile carrier into releasing that phone number to a new SIM card, thereby receiving any two-factor authentication codes. Now, while Instagram suggests using 2FA codes on your account, and this is better than having nothing, they only offer codes sent via SMS, not set up in an app. Now, since social engineering carriers is becoming a common occurrence, I think now is the time for Instagram to set up 2FA via an application instead to kind of ward off criminals. I think that would be a good idea. On August 29th, the FDA posted a safety advisory on their site titled "Firmware Update to Address Cybersecurity Vulnerabilities Identified in Abbott's, formerly St. Jude Medical's, Implantable Cardiac Pacemakers." Specifically, this warning is for patients who had a radio frequency-enabled pacemaker, caregivers for folks who have these pacemakers, and doctors, surgeons, and physicians who have used these pacemakers as treatments. Devices include the Accent, Anthem, Accent MRI, Accent ST, Assurity, and Allure pacemakers manufactured before August 28, 2017. In total, 500,000 pacemakers in the United States are vulnerable to being hacked, allowing a criminal to reprogram them on the fly, modifying a heartbeat, or drain the battery down very easily. Luckily, none of these pacemakers require new installation. They just need a firmware update, which can be done over the air with a health professional. After the firmware update is completed, an external device would require authorization before being able to connect with it, and data will also be encrypted. This vulnerability has not been used in the wild yet, but it was recently included in a study in June by security researchers at Whitescope, who analyzed them and found that you could intercept RF signals with as little as $15 in electronics, allowing a criminal to read private information stored on the pacemaker, along with threatening a patient's life using any of the previously mentioned attacks. It was also included in some investment drama, which happened way last year, which made St. Jude stock fall, to which St. Jude replied that security vulnerabilities in pacemakers was false and misleading. Many health industry professionals downplay the need for security on devices such as these, even though this is not the first occurrence. Insulin pumps, for example, were found to be vulnerable to hacks way back in 2011, and other medical devices could become targets of hacks in the coming years. The reality is, any connected device could be susceptible to a hack, and with IoT botnets running rampant, it's something that should be taken seriously. I also want to mention thank you so much to Joe for sending in this story, and if you are a Patreon, you can send stories, your favorite ones, over to me in the community tab on patreon.com/threatwire. Thank you to Michael for sending in this story over on our Patreon community tab. No one likes spam. Well, some of us might like to go to the grocery store and buy spam to eat, or whatever you do with spam that you buy at the grocery store. But most of us, I'm gonna say, don't like digital spam, and now it's even worse. Over 711 million email addresses have been publicly exposed for who knows how long from a spam bot server that's been known to publish tons of spam to users. The server hosting the list of email addresses was open and accessible, hosted in the Netherlands without any secure credentials needed to access it. So that means that anyone with the link could get into it. Unfortunately, the spam bot also had listed millions of SMTP credentials stored on it as well. This spam bot, which is called the Onliner spam bot, was used to serve up spam alongside banking trojans to users since 2016. The SMTP credentials, totaling 80 million, are used to then send spam to the remaining 600 million plus email addresses. By doing this, the spam bot bypasses any kind of anti-spam measures that are used on a mail server, so the email ends up in a user's inbox instead of their spam folder. Some email addresses in the list were also found in data breaches from LinkedIn, from MySpace, and from Dropbox, and 2 million were found to be from a Facebook phishing campaign. Troy Hunt, who runs Have I Been Pwned or HaveIBeenOwned.com, verified the data and added it to his website. And of course, later that day, I received an email from HaveIBeenOwned.com saying one of my public email addresses was found in that breach. No surprise there. Now, since so many email addresses were included, it is advised to change your password for your email address, turn on two-factor authentication, and ensure that you are not using the same password on multiple sites. The sad truth, as Hunt points out in his blog post, is there is not much you can do if you find yourself in one of these spam lists. While it may explain spam that you are receiving, it is relatively hard to figure out where someone got your email address from. Either way, change your password, and if you don't already, use a password manager so you don't end up using the same password across multiple sites. Big thanks again to all of the fine, wonderful, gracious people who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. You are the reason that we can bring you news every single week. Any little bit helps us grow the show, and in return, you will get access to a bunch of extras over on patreon.com/threatwire. We might even feature your adorable fur baby, like these ones from Joe and Coco Puffs. Love the photos. Thank you so much for sending those in an upcoming episode. Check out the perk levels on Patreon, and thanks again for helping us keep this coming completely independent and ad-free. And of course, if you cannot donate, you can hit that subscribe button, you can share this episode on your favorite social media page, and make sure to use the hashtag ThreatWire so that we can see it and I might retweet you. And with that, I am Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet. Yeah.